WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Happy Monday, folks. We've got a great show in store for you all to start the week on this December 15th. Folks, Christmas is right around the corner now. What do you got? Like what? That has to be, what, 9 more shopping days? 9 more Christmas shopping days? No, I have not started. I will always wait to the last second every single year, but hopefully your shopping is going well, folks. But again, folks, we got a hot show in store for you. We'll talk about the Detroit Lions as they have just made their case a bit stronger to solidify a spot in this year's NFL playoffs. We'll talk about the Lions and their win over the Vikings yesterday. Also, the MSU men's basketball team getting back on the pace here with a big win over Oakland last night at the Breslin Center. We'll be chatting with Steve Finnemore, also of the East Lansing boys basketball team. Steve is the head coach of that team. He'll talk about his stacked and loaded team that he has this season. We'll also bring you our weekend winners, talk about Kobe passing Michael Jordan on the all-time scoring list, all of that and so much more. But as custom here on Current Sports, let's start things by bringing you your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Well, I tell you what, folks, it was a fantastic weekend for just about all of the local teams that you care about, starting with the Michigan State men's basketball team. Denzel Valentine scored 19 points with going 5-for-6 from the three-point arc, and Michigan State beat Oakland 87-61 on Sunday night. Brandon Dawson had 15 points. Bryn Forbes and Marvin Clark Jr. chipped in with 12 each, and Matt Costello had 11 for the balanced Spartans. Now, Michigan State also shot 58.8% from beyond the arc, 55.7% from the field, assisting on 25 of 34 baskets. That's called efficiency, folks. All right, the Spartans will now move on to host Eastern Michigan this Wednesday night at 9 p.m. How about the MSU women's basketball team? They also handled business over the weekend. Ariel Powers had 14 points and 14 rebounds, 5 assists, and also a career-high 3 blocks. Man, she did work. Also, Becca Mills tied a career-high to lead number 19 Michigan State to a 90-38 rout at Loyola Chicago on Sunday. Now, it was the largest margin of victory for Michigan State and the second by more than 40 points this season. MSU is now 1-0 against Loyola Chicago, and as Sunday was the first meeting between the two teams. Now, they host Alcorn State tomorrow night at 7 p.m., folks. That should be a good one as well. All right, Joe Cox, Thomas Ebbing, and Ryan Keller each scored their first goals of the season on Sunday, and Michigan State received the secondary scoring it's been looking for in a hard-fought 6-4 victory over Clarkson in a non-conference game at Munn Ice Arena. Now, Cox and Ebbing combined to score 3 goals in the span of 3 minutes and 13 seconds late in the second period to lift the Spartans from a 3-2 deficit into a 5-3 lead. Now, the Spartan players were free to head home after Sunday's game and won't return until Christmas night when they begin prepping for the 50th annual Great Lakes Invitational at the Joe and the D on December 28th and 29th. All right, and how about those Lions, huh? Matt Prater's 33-yard field goal with 3:38 remaining lifted Detroit to a 16-14 win over the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday, pulling the Lions into a tie for first place in the NFC North. Now, Detroit spotted Minnesota a 14-0 lead before slowly rallying with the help of 2 second-quarter interceptions. The Lions have won 3 in a row and are now even atop division with Green Bay, which lost to Buffalo earlier in the day. All right, the Detroit Pistons have won 2 straight for only the second time this season, but it'll be tough sledding in a bid for 3 in a row Monday night. That's tonight when they visit Staples Center to take on the LA Clippers, a team that desperately needs a win right now. And the Pistons dropped 13 in a row until a victory over the Phoenix Suns on Friday night. Detroit continued the momentum Saturday with a 95-90 win over the Sacramento Kings. Tip-off is set for 10:30 p.m. tonight. All right, according to several reports, the Sacramento Kings have fired coach Mike Maloney following the loss to the Detroit Pistons over the weekend. Now, Maloney was hired after the 2013 NBA season, but has a record of 39-67. That's just, ugh. Now, the Kings started off 5-1, but lost 8 of its last 10 games. All right, former Ithaca quarterback Travis Smith is transferring to Eastern Michigan University. How about that? Now, his Twitter account read, "Committed to Eastern Michigan December 14, 2014. How about that? Now, Smith was the Gatorade 2013 Player of the Year and was one of the two quarterbacks a part of Wake Forest recruiting class in 2014. And he was responsible for leading Ithaca to 3 state titles at the same time as their national leading 69-game winning streak, of course, came to an end in the playoffs last month. All right, Kobe Bean Bryant is officially third on the all-time NBA scoring list and passed Michael Jordan in yesterday's game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. He passed Jordan's 32,292 all-time points on a free throw. And finally, in the NFL, according to a report obtained by ABC News, it shows that NFL Vice President of Operations Troy Vincent initially promised star running back and accused child abuser Adrian Peterson a 2-game ban opposed to an indefinite season-long ban. Now, the 6-time All-Pro recently pleaded no contest with no jail time for beating his 4-year-old son with a switch, but lost his suspension appeal on Friday. But at that appeal hearing, his lawyers claimed the league retaliated against the former NFL MVP for failing to meet with the league days before he was suspended. So there you have that. Again, folks, that wraps up our current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of that and anything on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Shoot me a comment there. If you do, I'll read it right here live on the air. And you can also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, and I'll do the same thing with your tweets. Well, folks, again, we've got a stacked show like we do each and every current sports, especially on Monday's show, because we try to recap and discuss just about everything, or at least some of the more important stories that occurred in sports over the weekend. So many things occurring, so little time to do so. We also have a fantastic guest, here on the show, Steve Finnemore, friend of current sports. He is the head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team. And I tell you what, folks, if you have not seen this team play yet or have read anything about this team yet, they are stacked. The expectations are certainly high for this team. They had a very big transfer come in. A freshman who is playing out of his mind has actually made a roster spot on this team as well. Steve will chat about this squad. He'll talk about the CAAC Blue. Hey, and even give his thoughts on Kobe Bean Bryant passing Michael Jeffrey Jordan on the all-time NBA scoring list. So we'll get his thoughts on that as well. We'll also bring you our weekend winners as we, again, look at the weekend that was in sports and bring to you who had the best weekend in sports, which team, athlete, or just individual, you know, per se, had the best weekend in sports. We'll bring that to you as well. But to start the show, we got to start off by talking about the Honolulu Blue. Man, I tell you what, all they do is win, folks. The Detroit Lions have now put themselves in a prime position here. If they close out the season, again, they have a game against the Bears and against the Packers. Let's say if they close out the season with those two wins, the Lions can pretty much etch their name in the playoff stone right now. They're sitting pretty right now, again, with the loss the Packers had against Buffalo yesterday, and seeing as though Detroit beat the Vikings, the Lions now sit atop the NFC North, folks. How about that? Now, again, it wasn't easy yesterday. Even though they played a Vikings team, which hasn't been really great all year, Detroit had to squeak this one out, and I was sweating, to tell you the truth, folks, as that game came down really to that final quarter, to those final minutes. It wasn't until Matthew Prater's 33-yard field goal with about 3 minutes left in the game. It wasn't until that point where Lions fans could, you know, breathe a sort of sigh of relief, but still, they had to also dodge a bullet with that 68-yard field goal attempt from the Vikings to possibly win that game. So, interesting game to say the least, but again, all that matters in the NFL, all that matters in sports when it comes down to it, is what you do in that win column, and the Lions, again, have now won 3 in a row and are even atop the division with Green Bay, which lost to Buffalo earlier that day. Impressive stuff. Alex Sharg, the man behind the glass, now joins me here on the show. Alex, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. Yeah, just went to that Michigan State basketball game last night against Oakland. Quite the show. They looked a lot better, especially after finals, which you thought might hurt them a little bit coming out of the gate.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, At the beginning of that game,
Oakland did put up a little bit of a fight. It was pretty close earlier in that game, and then Michigan State, I mean, they shoot so well. My goodness, man. But, yeah, you were actually at the game. We're gonna talk about that in just a second, sort of evaluate the MSU men's basketball team as they now sort of try to hit their stride as the season moves along. But I want to get your thoughts first on the Lions here, Alex, because, again, this is impressive stuff. The Detroit Lions have now put themselves in position, again, to really heighten up the playoff talks here. Now, I tell you what, when looking at the game, the Lions, again, and I've gone on to say this throughout the season for this Detroit Lions team, they have to stop playing from behind, Alex. Getting themselves in these early ruts, again, they play from behind. It was 14-0, a very fast start by the Vikings earlier on in that game. Teddy Bridgewater then throws two interceptions that lead to 10 points. I want to shout out Darius Slay and Glover Quinn. How about Quinn? You know, Quinn's interception actually was his sixth on the season. He now is tied in first place in the NFL as far as defenders who have interception numbers, and he is tied in first place with Cleveland's Tashawn Gibson. So how about that? Shout out to Glover Quinn. He's had a remarkable year. But going back to that beginning of the game, Alex, again, the Lions – getting themselves in that 14-0 rut early on in the game. The Lions have – it's really been the hallmark for this team all year. The Lions, they get themselves in these ruts, and they expect the second half to sort of turn on the light switch and pull out wins, which they have been doing. So you really – even though, you know, you want to argue with it and say, okay, the Lions have to come out and start games better. They certainly have to do that. But I tell you what, when they do need to make a play, when they do need to make a stop, when they do need to make a score, they do it and come through with the W. So you can't really argue with it, but you got to say to yourself as a Lions fan and as a casual fan of the Lions that at some point that luck is going to run out for them. And they struggled against the Vikings to score points. If you look at Matthew Stafford's numbers, again, 17 of 28 for 153 yards, an odd day for Matthew Stafford as well. You got to believe that against better teams than the Vikings, the Lions may have troubles on their hands if they start games like this.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that out. Brought that out because right now, this Lions team, the offense, I don't think is playoff ready, man, after that game against the Vikings. It's a huge concern, aside from just getting out of the gate. I mean, the defense basically won the game for the Lions, if you look at it.
No, I agree.
With the two picks.
Yeah.
And aside from just, the defense had to wake up to a little bit. They allowed those two touchdowns to Bridgewater at the start, some big plays downfield. But overall, man, I mean, this offense, with the weapons they have, what's supposed to be the strength this year, is complete worrisome, regardless of first place. Sure, maybe I'm cynical. Maybe I'm looking at this like SOL. But after watching that game and the frustration I've seen from friends and fans around the area, watching that game, it was like watching someone try to do something and seeing them screw it up over and over again. It was not enjoyable to watch, man. The fact that, Golden Tate, as much as a great season he's had, he only has four touchdowns, Al. Only four touchdowns on the year. And sure, the yardage makes up for it. But as much as Calvin Johnson gets double teamed all the time, and as much as it's hard to get him open, there have to be other options. That's why they got Ebron.
Yeah,
I don't know what else they could do.
Yeah, and this is the thing. Again, you bring up all of the offensive weapons that Matthew Stafford has on that offense. I mean, you got Calvin Johnson, you got not even mention the backs here. I mean, Reggie Bush, Joik Bell, Eric Ebron, Golden Tate. And again, going back to your point about Golden Tate, I think that, again, I think those yardages that Golden Tate has played, he's had an unbelievable year.
Best acquisition maybe,
even
right?
I agree. You can argue that the Golden Tate acquisition for the Lions was ideally the best free agent move in the entire league. You can make that argument, and it'll be a strong, strong one at that. But for the Lions, I think, Alex, again, you know, going back to the offensive woes, for me, it starts with Matthew Stafford. That's where it starts for the offense. Again, for the third straight game, I will say that he did not throw an interception. He's not turning the ball over. Three straight games now for Matthew Stafford without an interception. Alex, he is just doing enough to get by at this point. Again, his performance was nothing that you look at when you look at the end numbers, and it doesn't really stand out and say, oh my goodness, Matthew Stafford was incredible. I mean, 17 for 28, 153 yards. Those aren't numbers that are eye-popping. Those are dismal, to say the least, numbers. You know, but the fact is, he's not turning the ball over in addition to the skewed numbers. So I think that is a good – and he's in doing that, he's giving his team a chance to possibly win down the stretch of games. Now, again, I agree with you. Without this Detroit Lions defense, this season could be a complete 180.
Yeah, they might go from 10-4 to 5-9.
Right. It could be exactly. It could be a complete 180. And you know what's so interesting? Because as a preeminent player's career goes on, and I'm talking about Calvin Johnson here, no matter who that player is, the scouting reports become better, Alex, and they start to realize that you are a huge, huge threat. You know I'm a big NBA guy. When Mike and Kobe and Allen Iverson, I can even go back to Allen Iverson, if you are a good player, no matter what sport it is, teams will recognize that and do whatever it takes to shut you down and make other players beat you. You started to see, you know, in Leighton Jordan's career, I mean, you saw double teams galore. You started to see that with Kobe Bryant. Heck, you still do. And with a lot of superstars in every different sport, you try to taper your defensive scheme to shut down that superstar and make other people beat you. If you saw throughout that game against the Minnesota Vikings, they had a scheme, realizing that Calvin Johnson, hands down, is the best wide receiver in the National Football League. Calvin Johnson was double-teamed on just about every snap throughout that game. On just about every snap, Calvin Johnson at least saw 2 to 3 purple jerseys. So, with that being said, they forced Matthew Stafford to try and find other targets. Ideally, those other targets did some poor route running, did not show up, period. Because I felt as though the route running from the receivers was not up to par, something that I haven't been able to argue throughout the early part of the season. They weren't getting open for Matthew, so I don't want to put it all on Matthew Stafford. But at the same time, it's a mutual thing here. You know what I mean? So, again, this offensive productivity will not get it done against better teams, Alex. They are lucky that they played the Minnesota Vikings. And even then, they had to dodge a few bullets throughout that game. Again, let's say that 68-yard, and it was so funny because when they showed, you know, the highlight reel of, I forget, who's the kicker for the Vikings? His name is eluding me right now. Is it Miles, I think it is? I believe it's Miles. I don't know, I have to Google that. But anyway, they showed him warming up, and he had hit a 70-yarder in warm-ups. Barely hit it, but he hit it. So there was still a chance for Minnesota to possibly come and win and pull off a big upset over the Lions in that game. But the key guy that I definitely have to mention here is Jason Jones, Detroit Lions defensive lineman, because he came up big. If you remember, he sacked Teddy Bridgewater on that second and goal that was crucial on that drive when Minnesota was threatening. And then right after that, he comes up with the huge block on a 26-yard chip shot that could have threw a wrench in this entire game, and we could be talking about a Lions loss here. Jason Jones, and again, that defense came up huge. They made big stops when they needed to. You can even go back to the drive before that I believe that same drive, actually, where, you know, Ndamukong Suh comes up with a huge, huge sack. The secondary, you know, they came up with some big stops as well. Again, they finished the job when they needed to. And again, this Detroit Lions defense has been spectacular. Arguably the best in the league, Alex.
Yeah, and aside from just Jones, there's one player that really, really gets undershadowed, and that's Ndamukong Suh. Because as much as Jones is able to make his plays, if Suh isn't double-teamed and isn't doubled, you know, if Suh isn't distracting most of the offensive line's focus, a lot of the big plays made by Jones get unnoticed. So it's really up to Sue, too. And that's another big discussion is it Sue's last game in Detroit, Al? And what does he really mean to this defense moving forward? Because a lot of the success this year, one could argue, is because you have a playmaker like Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have Nick Fairley in. Ziggy Ansah isn't that dominant force that Suh is. Glover Quinn, he's leading the league in interceptions, but is he as much of a distraction as Ndamukong Suh?
No, I think, you know, that's an easy answer right there. No, not at all. I mean, Ndamukong Suh, he draws so much attention as a defensive lineman that, again, you talk about being double-teamed in sports. You know, the greats get double-teamed. And Ndamukong Suh is double-teamed a lot throughout an entire game, and that opens up different areas for other guys in that defensive line to put together a nice pass rush and to get at the quarterback. So Ndamukong Suh, his presence there is so instrumental in opening opportunities up for other linemen on that defensive line. Now, is it Ndamukong Suh's last game? Again, I just really don't know. I mean, we kind of debated that last week about, you know, the whole situation where, you know, that he was asked a question, will he be back next year and so on and so forth, and he sort of alluded to, hey, talk to my agent Jimmy. I don't know. He'll be making my decision, you know what I mean, based on what other offers come to the table and whatnot. It was interesting, too, because after that game, you know, it's funny, I was reading the Detroit Free Press this morning about that game, and they basically said that Ndamukong Suh was vapor. That's the word that's the word they use, quote-unquote vapor, because after the game, Ndamukong Suh just booked really quick, did not talk to the media, and left the locker room ASAP. So really interesting stuff, though. But, you know, again, we don't know if Ndamukong Suh is going to be back, but if he is not back, you better believe that defense is going to take a hit. That defense is surely going to take a hit from the Lions. As far as the Lions season goes now, again, they are in position, even though there are a lot of questions offensively for this team, they are in position, again, to etch their names and solidify themselves in this year's NFL playoffs. Again, they are 10-4 for the first time since I was 1 year old back in 1991. Again, they have the number 2 playoff seed in the NFC. They could clinch their first division championship since 1993 next weekend with a victory at Chicago and possibly a Green Bay loss to Tampa Bay, which I don't think that's going to happen. And again, this could be their third playoff game played in the last 57 years. So a lot of implications here, folks. If the Lions do finish the job, they are in prime position to do so, and I do think they will. Again, they play the Bears, then they play the Packers on the road in Wisconsin, a place that they have had terrible luck at. But the Lions are putting themselves in a good position here because, again, even with all of the question marks offensively, they are getting the job done. Now it's just about finishing the job. I believe we have JC from Lansing. He is on line one. JC, how you doing, my man?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I agree with almost everything you say. You know, Ndamukong Suh, if you look at all last history since Kurt Flood free agency thing, all players have a good year on their last year, you know?
Right, right.
And then, and then it falls apart. But I know the offensive line has been banged up somewhat, but Stafford has not got sacked that many times. And I don't know. I just don't think he can take us to the promised land. Now, I think the defense was the biggest shock to everybody. Like, whoa, we got a good, solid defense, which I just love and I feel comfortable with. But the offense is just as shocking the other way. I thought the offense would be so much better. Man, if we could put that offense together with that defense, they'd be unstoppable.
Exactly. No, and I totally agree with you, JC, because if you look at it, again, the defense is statistically right now the best in the league. And if you couple that, and I just feel as though this, for me, I always said this is the no excuse year for Matthew Stafford. Because, you know, what the Lions did in the draft was they picked up Eric Ebron and they coupled him with two other tight ends that have been great for the Lions, looking at last year, and Brandon Pettigrew and Joseph Fourier. So now you add Eric Ebron, you have Calvin Johnson, you've got Golden Tate, you got Reggie Bush, you got Joik Bell. I mean, there is no excuse for this offense to put up, again, for Matthew Stafford to only have 153 yards in a game.
Nope, I agree 100%. Nope. He's got so many options. If you're double-teaming one guy like Megatron, man, I'm telling you what, somebody else is open.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't know if it's the scheme or if it's Stafford, or I think it's more Stafford than it is the scheme, to tell you the truth. I don't know. I think
right.
it just drives you nuts when you sit there and watch it. You go, we should be killing this team.
Right. Oh, I agree.
You know, the Lions can technically, I heard on the radio this morning, that you can actually get a first-round bye in a home game or not make the playoffs. I mean, that's how bunched up it is. And that does make it exciting, though, doesn't it?
It does. It just blows my mind. If you look at the playoff system, and I read a report actually yesterday that the NFL, after this year, is going to sit down and really reevaluate their playoff system. Because, again, the Lions have 10 wins. You know, there are other teams in other divisions that have nowhere close to 10 wins, but have a better chance of making the playoffs than the Lions based on what division and what seed they have. And I just think that just blows my mind there, JC.
If you go look at New Orleans and Atlanta, they could be 5 wins technically and have a playoff home game, and there could be a team that wins 11 games, not make the playoffs.
Right. See, I just don't get that, and I just don't think it's fair. Right.
Well, remember Seattle and New Orleans? That happened there, 3-4 years ago.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah.
And home field in the NFL is big.
It's huge. It is huge. I mean, again, that's your 12th man, you know, and having home field in the NFL is everything from a mental standpoint, from a momentum standpoint. It is huge. It's really huge.
So if you were a betting man, which I am, do you think the Lions are going to beat the Bears?
I do. I think the Lions beat the Bears, but that game against the Packers is what I have a question mark about. I think the Bears have just been so atrocious this season on both sides of the ball, and I think the Lions will edge this one out.
You know, I was telling my wife yesterday before the game started, the Lions, I said, this is the type of game the Lions lose when we're at home, we got everything in place, and this is the type of game. But I'll tell you what,
right.
Jim Caldwell is so calm and cool on that sidelines.
Right.
And I think the players adapt to what his character is and say, okay, guys, everything's okay. We're going to get him. Instead of yelling and screaming and doing this and that, he's so calm and cool, and I just love the guy.
I love him too. That was going to be my final point before we hit the break. But no, that's a very good aspect, JC. Appreciate your call, my man.
Thank you.
But no, I think he brings up a great point, Alex, because that was going to be my last point here. Looking at everything that's happened to the Lions so far this year, again, they're 10-4, a very formidable record, impressive stuff. They're winning, Alex. But again, all the question marks that we have on offense, can Matthew Stafford lead them to the promised land? One thing is for certain that I do feel very good about, and you have to feel very good about if you're a Lions fan, is looking at who the leader is of this team, looking at the head coach. Again, JC talked about how, you know, and I brought it up a few times as well, just how cool, calm, and collected. I mean, he is cooler than the other side of the pillow to steal a punt from Stuart Scott when he's on that sidelines. Nothing rattles him, no matter if it's a close game, if it's a blowout, no matter what it is, nothing rattles Jim Caldwell. And again, you always want the team to be a reflection of your head coach. This team exemplifies those heat of the moment, sweat on your brow type of situations that it doesn't affect Jim, so it doesn't affect the team, you know? And I love it. I love it. I think, if anything, Jim Caldwell, from a mental standpoint, has this team in a mind frame that no matter what the score is, no matter what moment in the game it is, no matter what down it is, we still got a chance to win, and we are going to win.
That's right. And even Tom Jackson, former NFL player, he said the other day with Chris Berman that Caldwell has instilled a new era of this team. The fact that they went, 2-6 last year with close games, and now they're 5-1. And especially with 2 games ago, like JC just said, the Lions are either going to go, and they still might not even make the playoffs. So with these 2 next games, like you said, cooler than the other side of the pillow, Al, he's instilled this new sense of calmness, this confidence, and basically this overall new kind of swagger in Detroit to kind of go on and change this team, and hopefully they can go to the playoffs. But without Caldwell, who knows what would happen in these 2 games, but you can bet that he will be pretty calm and collected over the next 2 games.
Cool, calm Caldwell is what they call him. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, folks, we'll be chatting with one of the premier coaches in high school basketball around mid-Michigan. That's right, Steve Finnemore, the head boys basketball coach over at East Lansing High School. He'll chat about the incredible team that he has and season implications and so much more. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, December 15th. Hopefully you all are having a great and fantastic start to your week. Of course, each and every Monday, Alex likes to play music from a particular artist in and out of our breaks. We call it Martis Monday here on Current Sports. And I can pretty much guess who our artist is today, Alex. That's Mary J. Blige, right?
Certainly is, man.
Gotta love her. I think she has a new album coming out. She's one of my favorite artists of all time. She is fantastic. But you know, I don't know if you've read this story, Alex. Interesting stuff. Interesting developments are coming out when it comes to the Adrian Peterson case. Of course, the running back for the Minnesota Vikings, who was actually kicked off the team and suspended by the league due to really an incident where, you know, he was chastising his young child, and pictures and images got out of marks on his young son's body. And the NFL saw this, and they said, okay, we have to investigate this situation, and the Vikings can no longer have AP as an active player on the team. Interesting stuff, because there was something that was released, and I talked about it to start our show during our Quick Hit Headliners. In the NFL, again, a recording obtained by ABC News shows that NFL Vice President of Operations Troy Vincent initially promised star running back and accused child abuser, again, Adrian Peterson, a 2-game ban opposed to an indefinite season-long ban. So, again, basically saying and accusing the NFL of reneging on the promise that he will be back after serving that 2-game penalty. So the NFL Players Association has now been involved, and they have actually filed a lawsuit against the NFL in the U.S. District Court in Minneapolis, challenging an arbitrator's decision made on Friday to uphold Adrian Peterson's suspension by the league. It's going to be very interesting to see how this story plays out, because for me, seeing as though how Adrian Peterson lost his appeal to at least close out the season playing a few games here with the Vikings, he lost that appeal and they suspended him indefinitely for the entire year. For, again, I'm looking at the outside in. I'm only basing this opinion on what I've read. I'm not there at the situation. But based on what I've read, I don't think this is warranted Adrian Peterson to be suspended the entire season. I just don't get it. Especially if this report is true by ABC News, saying they have attained certain footage that alludes to them saying that Adrian Peterson will only have to sit out 2 games, and now to see that he is out for the entire season. There's a lot of fishy holes in this story here. Again, what do you think about it, folks? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll continue that discussion on the back hour of our show. But without further ado, let's get to our guest here on today's Current Sports. Now, they are a team that everyone seems to be buzzing about from the mid-Michigan area, seeing as though they've got a lot of weapons they can throw at you on any given Tuesday or Friday, for that matter, okay? Now, they are coached by one of the best high school boys basketball coaches you'll ever find. He has to be licking his chops at the talent he has this year. Now, they are currently right now 1-1 with a win over DeWitt and a 3-point loss to Jackson on Friday. I'd like to welcome head coach of the East Lansing Trojans boys hoop team, Steve Finnemore. You are rocking with Current Sports. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, Al. I'm doing great, man. It's a pleasure to be on your show, and I'm really excited. And thanks for all those props, man. I really appreciate you.
Hey, we appreciate you, Steve. Again, I mean, hey, you are one of my favorite coaches from around the area. I always love going to an East Lansing boys basketball game because I tell you what, you guys are always competitive. Always competitive, Steve. Now, I want to talk about last year really briefly here, Steve. Now, you all finished the year near the bottom of the CAAC Blue standings last year, but have added Class B All-Area and All-State special mention and Corona transfer Mikhail Miles, also freshman standout Brandon Johns. I mean, what do these two bring to the table this year?
Well, Al, I'll tell you one thing from last year's team. We lost 52 points with all those guys who are gone now. And with McHale and with Brandon, you know, not only do we get special offensive players, guys that can really score, but we get two of the nicest guys, most coachable guys you'll ever see, because it makes a coach's job a lot easier if your two top guns, your two offensive players, buy into your philosophy and are coachable. Not only does it make my job a lot easier, it makes the guys around them a lot easier. And, you know, Brandon's, he's got a long ways to go, Al. He's got high expectations. He's working every day in practice, and he's going to be unbelievable down the road. And McHale's a 1,000-point scorer at Corona, and he's a wonderful athlete. He's got some schools recruiting him now, and he comes to the gym every day ready to get better.
Now, I want to talk about Brandon Johns, because I find out, I find it very intriguing whenever a freshman makes a varsity team. I mean, as a freshman, what intangibles led you to believe that Johns deserved to be on this team?
Well, obviously his height, 6'7". I mean, gosh, if he played in the freshman game, he would dominate it. He played 14 and under last summer, and they won the national championship, the Lansing Spartans.
Wow!
You know, Al, it's his coachability, it's his willingness to want to get better, it's his work ethic every day that he brings it, and he's such a special player because at 6'7", you know, obviously he can score inside. But he can shoot the three, he can dribble a ball up the court, and you know, he's a very, very good teammate. So we figured, let's throw him in the fire right away. You know, I had reservations about starting him the first night because he was nervous like all of us were.
Yeah.
And he didn't have the greatest game that night. He did have a few rebounds. Tom Izzo's in the house, so of course he's going to be nervous. First game, he turned around 2-3 days later at Jackson, scored 16 points, had 6 rebounds, and blocked 5 shots.
Wow, that is fantastic. I tell you what, they get tougher mentally as the game and the season goes by, Steve. Now, for you, I mean, you know, dealing with and trying to coach up a freshman with the talent of Johns, I mean, how do you approach that as a coach? I mean, where does it start? Does it start from the mental part of the game and then trickle down? Because, I mean, physically, I mean, the kid is certainly talented.
I think basketball, Al, is 80% mental. And with my coaching style, you know, I don't want to scare the kid. I don't want to take his confidence away. I want to build him up, you know, and encourage him every day. You know, he brings it every day, and that makes my job a lot easier. You know, you got to be really, really careful with today's athletes, you know, especially the superior ones, because you really got to – there's no exact science out to how to approach players. You know, Tom Izzo has a different style. We watched Greg Campy last night against Michigan State. He has a different style. Coach K, you know, Nick Saban, Pete Carroll at Seattle Seahawks. Everyone has a different style. You got to know which buttons to press. You got to pick them up, especially Brandon just turned 15 yesterday. So, you know, I thread lightly with him. You know, I try to teach him every day, and the young man's done a tremendous job.
Wow, 15 years old. I tell you what, I wish I was that good at 15.
I'll tell you what, Al, every day I see him and I'm going to correct him on something or I help him with something, I say, gosh, I could have never dealt with this when I was 15 years old.
Right. The pressure, I tell you what, I mean, because again, with great talent comes great responsibility as well. And again, I mean, the expectations and the pressure to be that young, I mean, you kind of have to have a short memory, to be honest with you, Steve. I mean, that's incredible. Now, again, I want to talk about also Mikal Miles. I mean, again, he's a highly touted player for your team. Again, a transfer from Corona. How did that acquisition come for him to be rocking now a royal blue and white jersey?
Well, his mom and dad divorced a few years ago, and his mom got custody of him and his older brother, MJ, who's a student at Central Michigan right now. So obviously Mikal was down in Corona playing and living and going to school. This past year, he decided to move up to East Lansing where his dad lives, Monty Miles, and he moved into the district, so enabled him to play right away. And a big part of that was he wanted to go up against some really good competition here in the CAAC Blue. And second, his younger brother, his half-brother, Weston, is a sophomore on my team. He played last year as a freshman, so he wanted another opportunity to play with a brother because he played with MJ at Corona for 3 years. And he said, let me have another chance to play with one of my other brothers.
Oh, that is fantastic. Oh, all right, folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the head boys basketball coach over at East Lansing High School, Steve Finnemore. Now, Steve, you know what? I remember chatting with you right before the start of last year's basketball season, and you talked about how your team still needed to really find out who it is. Now, you are all, again, always, each and every game for you guys, you are all still very competitive. But the change publicly when it comes to the perception of how good this year's team is compares in complete contrast to that of last year. Are you high on the hype of your team as well, Steve?
You know, I've been learning and trying to get better at staying even keel. You know, Al, somebody once said, you're never as good as they say you are, but you're never as bad as they say you are. So I've been working really hard to try to stay even keel, but an emotional, passionate guy like me, it's really hard. I know the expectations are really high for us, but every day I remind myself that these young men, you know, are exactly that. They're young men. They're prone to making mistakes. You know, most people who criticize athletes or coaches do not really know what goes into an everyday, you know, daily basis on what they put in. My kids come to work every day. I don't try to lose games on purpose. I try to put the best team out there. You know, Al, commitment's real important with players today, and the camaraderie is real important. And this team this year, the camaraderie is unbelievable. I see how they interact with each other. I see them hanging out with each other. So I feel really good about this team. Matter of fact, it may be the closest team that I've had in my 5 years at East Lansing.
Oh, wow. That is saying a lot, Steve. Man, that's great stuff. Now, I mean, in going 10-11 last year, what did you learn about yourself as a coach during that time? Because we actually had your counterpart, Rob Smith, head coach of the girls basketball team, on the show last week. And, you know, he also had kind of a rocky year and told me that you realize that success is truly measured beyond the X's and O's as a coach when you go through a year like that. What did you learn about yourself, Steve?
Well, Al, I think everybody has a different perception of how things should be. And even when they're accomplished, you know, when the season's over, people look at different things. You know, some people are in it to get a scholarship. Some people are in it to score a lot of points. We're trying to create a program here. You know, we have a team every single year, and every team's going to be different. And what we try to do is we try to build a program, and we have a slogan. The acronym is PTRW, is Play the Right Way. And I always think back from last year, I said, did we play the right way? And are we playing the right way this year? And it's a real simple concept, Al. It's not that hard. But today's society with the me, I want to score. I want to get on ESPN. I want to get on Fred Heumann's fifth quarter. You know, I want to be I want to be Al Martin's guest. You know, it's really hard. It's really hard to sacrifice, you know, the me for the we.
Right.
I always tell them, I learned last year that if everyone comes together and contributes, you know, to a bigger cause, you know, we'll win games. And I'll tell you the one thing I really did learn, Al, I'm not so concerned about the wins and the losses anymore like I used to. I started caring more about my players this year. And it's not that I didn't care about them in the past, but I might have put winning and losing ahead of my players. And I think this year I've made a drastic change. You won't see me different on the sidelines. I'll still be animated and passionate. But I think I care more about my players as individuals this year. The relationship building has grown. So I would have to say what I learned out was love the players more than you love the win.
But you know what, Steve? That's such an interesting discussion you now bring up, because as a high school coach, and especially at, you know, at the college and high school level, I mean, you're still dealing with kids. I mean, these are still young men and women developing to become the men and women that they will be when sports is all said and done. So as a coach, you have to balance the X's and O's, but as well as your players, and you have to care for your players on how they are as people as well. But you have to do that with also maintaining a competitive drive because, again, Steve, I mean, we've talked before. You are, again, a very competitive guy. That's why you love sports. That's why you got to love the game of basketball, whatever sport it is. You want to win at the end of the day. How do you find that balance of staying competitive but also realizing that it's not everything?
I think, Al, it's really difficult, and that's why not many people get into coaching. I was talking to a college coach this morning, and a friend of mine who just got fired last night by the Sacramento Kings, Mike Malone.
Yeah, yeah.
Him and I go way back.
Oh, do you? Wow.
I feel really bad for him. And we talked about the business, my friend and I, this morning, and it's a really, you know, tragedy. So it's really hard to separate the two. It really is. But, you know, Roy Williams said something, the coach of North Carolina, he said something two weeks ago that stuck with me. He said, you know, the statistics, the wins that you compile over the years, he says sometimes that's just going to fade away. That's just like a number. But those relationships, Al, I think those can last forever and ever and ever. So I'm really working hard by reading material. I'm talking to other coaches. And you know what, Al? My athletic director told me last year, he said, you'll never be fired for losing games. So I always keep that in the back of my mind. And you know what, Al? You know, life is short, man. So I want to try to enjoy it. We went down to Jackson the other night. I saw some old friends because I used to coach down there. Mm-hmm. And I had a ball. We came back. We lost. But you know what? I felt good the next day.
Right, right. I tell you what, Steve. I tell you, coaching is certainly an unbelievable journey that cultivates you not only as a basketball, football, soccer mind, but also as a human being. I gotta love that, Steve. I didn't know him. You and Mike Malone go back. When did that relationship start between you guys?
I've known Mike since he was an assistant coach at Manhattan College when I was living in New York. I remember meeting him at the Final Four, and we just hit it off, and we've been in touch ever since. You know, we talk, we text message. He's such a wonderful guy. One of my ex-players actually tried out for the Sacramento Kings last year, and you know, we became much tighter then. But it's such a tough business, Al. You know, you get friends who get fired, and, you know, some guys get fired, you know, for different reasons, philosophical reasons. And like I said earlier, you know, it's such a tough business, Al. It's really, really tough. Like, you know, like most professions are, Al, but there's only... I feel so honored to be a head coach of a high school team. You think about it. How many schools are out there? There's not that many NBA head coaching jobs. There's not many of those jobs. So I feel real grateful to have this job. And you know, when a guy gets fired, that you know, you feel really bad for him.
Right. Yeah, it's certainly true. Have you reached out to him upon hearing the news at all, Steve?
You know, I sent him a text this morning because a buddy of mine on the West Coast texted me late last night, and I just sent Mike a text. You know what, though? He's going to land on his feet. Because he's a lifelong coach. He's a junkie. He's a lifer, and I wouldn't be surprised if Greg Popovich hired him, you know, or he'll get another head coaching job somewhere. And it's just the way it is, Al. You know, if you have a philosophical, you know, difference with the front office,
right.
You know, the Pistons have gone through it over the years. They've had good coaches here, like a Rick Carlisle, who did a tremendous job, I thought. You know, Larry Brown, there's always philosophical difference. It's just not about the wins and losses.
Steve Finnemore, East Lansing High School boys basketball coach. And Steve, you know, I want to go back to your team now. Now, I know it's only a small sample size, but you've played two games, beat DeWitt, lost to Jackson. What do you like from your team? What don't you like? How do you guys improve moving forward?
I like our resilience, Al. I know that's a buzzword and it's a cliche, but I use it as a lesson. You know, our resilience every day. If you come to our practice, they're upbeat, they're competitive, they're spirited, they're fast paced. We just don't do it one day or 2 days. We do it every single minute we're out on the floor. We struggled against DeWitt, but we found some fortitude and some toughness to pull that one out, which, by the way, DeWitt does a tremendous job. And then down in Jackson, we fell behind by 12 points on the road. Not many teams can come back. I saw some resilience from Mikhail. Mikhail had 35 points, and he just led us, you know, for most of the fourth quarter. And to be honest, we missed some free throws, and we missed a couple of layups that we normally make. And the one thing, Al, with the relationship building, when you really trust your players and you care about your players, you get over the losses really quick. And we practiced yesterday. It was awesome. We'll practice today, and we'll get ready at Hazlitt tomorrow night.
Oh, boy, I'm excited to see the great things this season has in store for you and your boy, Steve. Again, you guys got Hazlitt tomorrow. I believe Lansing Eastern on Friday, right?
That's right. We're home. How about this? We started our first three games on the road, and we'll play our home opener this Friday at 6 o'clock because we got that change this year. Every other year with the girls, we'll be the first game on Friday nights. And, you know, Eastern has a new coach. They have some new players. They lost a lot from last year. But you know what, Al? In the CAAC blue, you just never know what's going to happen on any given night, any one case. You've seen it in the college. You've seen NJIT beat Michigan. So never know what can happen.
Yeah, that is so true. And, you know, and you talk about your first, you know, what, three games on the road, Steve. Who did your schedule? Tom Izzo, my goodness.
Well, you know what? It always, you know, something like that. But we got to look at it like towards the end of the year, we'll have some good home games. And I'll tell you what, Al, you prepare for every game the same way. You know, I've learned a lot from Tom Izzo, and I've spent some time with their coaching staff. And the one thing I noticed, they prepare the same way for Oakland University as they do for Michigan and Wisconsin. Nothing changes with the preparation. And that's why we coach, Al, because it's almost like a chess match. You know, we want to try to get our guys in proper positions to be successful, and we want to outdo the other team.
That is so true. All right, Steve. Well, I tell you what, we'll be following you throughout the entire year. And before I let you go, because after we hit this break, we're going to come back, we'll start our weekend winner segment, and also I'll give my thoughts on Kobe Bryant passing Michael Jordan on the all-time scoring list. Just really briefly, we're both basketball junkies, Steve, and you always, I see you always on Twitter talking about the NBA and you're an avid watcher. What are your thoughts on Kobe passing Jordan?
You know what? I think it's a great milestone, obviously, passing someone like Jordan. You know, I'm happy for Kobe Bryant because he puts his heart and soul into it. You know, Kobe's one of the most intense athletes we've ever seen in our lifetime. His work ethic is second to none. And we're so lucky to be able to see Jordan and Kobe play, and obviously LeBron. You know, scoring is great, but I think the best accomplishment for Jordan and Kobe. Kobe's got 5 championships. Michael's got 6. You know, there are a lot of guys who score a lot of points, but like a Karl Malone who never won a championship. Karl Malone sits at number 2 on that list. I'm sure he'd give up some of those points for some rings. Kobe's a winner no matter what.
That is so true. Well said, Steve. Well said. Again, folks, Steve Finnemore, East Lansing High School boys basketball coach. Hey, Steve, thanks a lot for joining me today, my man.
Hey, Al, you enjoy the rest of the week, and thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. Thank you. All right, folks, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's show by going into our weekend winner segment, recapping the weekend, who had the best weekend that was in sports. Also, you're hearing my thoughts on Kobe Bryant passing the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Neither one of us knew why. We didn't build nothing overnight because a love like this takes some time. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Monday, folks. Happy Monday. Well, let's put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports by, of course, like we do each and every Monday. We look at what took place in sports this past weekend and bring to you our weekend winners. Let's hit it.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Welcome back to Current Sports. Yes, weekend winners. We take a look at the weekend that was in sports and give to you the top dogs of the weekend. So I guess I can start this thing off, Alex. I first want to shout out the MSU women's basketball team. They topped Loyola Chicago.
They didn't top. They destroyed.
They destroyed
them. Destroyed with 60 points or something? 50 points?
Yeah, well, actually, let's see. It was 90-38 was the final score. Let's see, 4 of us. That's like
50
points. Yeah, 52. I'm terrible at math. That's why I went in journalism. Thank you, Alex. But yeah, again, in Ariel Powers, 14 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks. I mean, those numbers are just eye-popping. Shit, how good? Ariel Powers is so good. I think her upside, and again, she's still young. What is she, a sophomore here at Michigan State? She has a tremendous upside. Her ceiling is so high. She hasn't even graced how good she can be yet. Ariel Powers, shout out to her. Becca Mills, she also tied a career high. And again, 90-38 rout at Loyola Chicago. Oh, man, how about that? So I want to start off with the MSU women's basketball team. Alex?
No, that's a good one. And I'm going to start off with the MSU hockey team. 6 goals, season highs. You talked about the start of the headline. That is the most goals we've seen all year, and probably the jump start that MSU hockey really, really needed in this somewhat splitting season thus far, Al.
Yeah, I like that. You know, yeah, they came back. That was a hard-fought game, too, against Clarkson. And a shout-out to the fans who came there and brought new stuffed animals. They're actually donating those stuffed animals. They threw them on the ice after Michigan State scored its first goal. They threw them out on the ice, and all of those stuffed animals were actually being donated to local Lansing charities. So, for kids who, again, are less fortunate and can't enjoy gifts during the holidays. So shout-out to that as well. All right, I'll go Detroit Pistons on you. My Detroit, we actually had a tweeter tweet us here on the show, TJ Segsway 40. He's probably listening now. He's a great, great listener on the show who always weighs in on our discussion here. But, you know, TJ had posed a question to both Alex and I whether or not we thought the Pistons were going to snap that losing streak, which was at 13, before Christmas. I had said yes. Alex didn't think until after Christmas. But Detroit, they did snap that losing streak, folks. They have won two straight now for only the second time this season. They now play the L.A. Clippers tonight. That's going to be a tough game. The Clippers are one of the best teams in the league. I'm just glad that the streak is over and Detroit, they beat the Phoenix Suns, and they continued and rolled that momentum into beating the Sacramento Kings. And, of course, Mike Malone, he was fired after that loss to the Detroit Pistons.
Are the Pistons really that embarrassing to lose to? I mean, come on.
Yeah, that was pretty bad, wasn't it? That was pretty – well, but again, looking at their record, I mean, whenever you lose 13 straight, and again, you lose to the 76ers, who, again, you can even argue that now because they beat the Pistons. You can argue that they're the second worst team in the NBA compared to the Pistons record-wise. But, yeah, I mean, it is embarrassing. You can't lose to Detroit if you're the Sacramento Kings. So they thought it was enough is enough, and Mike Malone fired. There you have that. So, but, yeah, I'm going with the Pistons, though.
All right, I like that. And we didn't talk about this earlier on in the show. We actually just got a caller. Michigan State men's basketball, man.
Yeah.
Tom Izzo said before the game that they needed to run more than they usually do. They needed to limit the turnovers and the fouls. They certainly did that. Very pleasing. Coming off a week-long hiatus from not playing, you expected a little bit of rustiness to start, but the players, they were excited to get back.
That was my next weekend winner. Yeah, the MSU men's basketball team getting that win over Oakland. You know what? I tell you what, this is remarkable. I mean, they lead the nation in three-point accuracy. They are numero uno in three-point accuracy. This is such a different team than any other time as a coach team, because we haven't seen a team that shoots from the three-point arc as much as this team does. And again, they went 10 for 17 last night. Valentine and Bryn Forbes, they were completely hot. Again, I think this team is best in transition. They got a lot of transition threes as well. Brandon Dawson seemed to awake from his spell. He had a solid game. Javon Best, we may get the word later on today. I'll be going to MSU men's basketball practice around 4:15 today, and we may get the official word that he could return by Wednesday night against Eastern Michigan University. He gives you penetration. Maybe we'll see some slashing from this team. But, yeah, again, MSU, how about that? They shoot the blood out the ball, and that was the case yesterday as well. So shout out to them as well. Well, again, man, time flies when you're having fun on Current Sports. You'll get my thoughts on Kobe Bryant passing Michael Jordan tomorrow. So you got to tune into tomorrow's show. We'll also have ticket giveaways. We'll be giving away a pair of tickets to the MSU women's basketball game tomorrow as well, as they invite Alcorn State to the Breslin Center tomorrow. So you want to tune in to find out how you can win tickets to that on tomorrow's show. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.